You're listening to DraftKings Network.
Folks, Mother's Day is around the corner, and let me talk to you about 1-800-Flowers. I can't wait. Every year, it's a tradition. I send stuff to my mother, my mother-in-law, and my wife because they are three amazing moms. They're better than all your moms out there. You think you have good moms? No, I have good moms in my life. I'm just kidding. This was a little harsh. I'm sure you guys all have good moms too. From your mom to the mother of your children and all the moms in between, this Mother's Day, give back to the ones that have given you everything. 1-800-Flowers helps you celebrate all amazing moms, from homemade bouquets, sweet treats, gourmet food, and one-of-a-kind gifts, ordered easily and delivered fresh. For a limited time, you can save up to 40% off Mother's Day bestsellers at 1-800-Flowers.com/Dan. Don't wait. Order today and save up to 40% at 1-800-Flowers.com/Dan.
Now's a good time to remember where the story of tequila started. In 1795, the first tequila distillery was opened by the Cuervo family. And 229 years later, Cuervo is still going strong. Family-owned from the start, same family, same land. Now's a good time to enjoy Cuervo, the tequila that invented tequila. Go to Cuervo.com to shop tequila or visit a store near you. Cuervo, now's a good time.
Trademarks owned by Becle, SAB, the CV. Copyright 2024, Proximo. Jersey City, New Jersey. Please drink responsibly.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart, the seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
This is the Dan Le Batard Show with the Stugatz Podcast.
So, as a sports culture, we're trying to be better and more sophisticated. So when people make big mistakes in big occasions, people haven't really like had a go at Joseph Osai the way that you would expect, right? I feel like 15 years ago, there would have been all kinds of debate shows, and he would sort of like the GOAT, right? Not the GOAT greatest of all time, the GOAT, the person who made the big mistake in the big occasion.
What's the debate, though? He just made a terrible mistake.
But like, normally you would see 24 hours of people just like, the story is him ripping him. And instead the story became about what Travis Kelce said afterwards, and Mahomes and Burrow, and all this other stuff. But just straight up ripping Joseph Osai for deciding the game on a penalty, I don't feel like featured that prominently in the conversation yesterday. Am I wrong?
Are you saying we've eased up on the guy who makes the colossal mistake that costs his team a game?
Yes, we have.
No doubt.
Okay. So his teammate, Jermaine Pratt, had a go at him heading towards the locker room.
Yeah, I saw that video.
Yeah, somebody captured video of him just ripping Joseph Osai as he goes in the locker room. And Micah Parsons quote tweeted the video and said, "This lame ASF." And so I wonder now as we move forward, because like Bill Buckner is word association on big time mistake. I imagine in Boston he was pilloried. He couldn't come back. Steve Bartman, drops the foul ball. He's pilloried. He can't come back to Wrigley Field.
Did you say it was lame ASF?
ASF is how it's how it says here.
What is that, as F?
As F, yeah.
Okay. Why not just AF?
I don't know. That's what it says here.
Good question, Mike. Now, I will tell you that Buckner, after the Red Sox eventually won a World Series.
But not after being a pariah.
He was a pariah for many, many years. They won a World Series, and then Boston welcomed him back to Fenway Park.
Is the most recent example of this Cody Parkey? Didn't he, he missed a field goal a few years ago?
The double doink missed field goal is probably the one that...
I mean, we were seeing with Brett Maher.
Yeah. Is the yips bigger? Because that...
People tend to go lighter on you when it's...
Are we also nicer when the guy's literally crying in his locker after the game?
He looked really sorry.
He also looked like he tore his ACL on that play.
Are you pro what's happening, or are you saying we should be ripping this guy?
He's acknowledging the improvement as a sports society.
Yes.
I think what happened here, perhaps, I'm just obviously guessing, but maybe what happened to Damar Hamlin, seeing a man nearly die on a football field, has softened the fans a bit where, hey, you know what? These guys, they're putting their lives on the line every single week for our entertainment. Not going to crush him when he makes the big mistake. Just a theory. I mean, just throwing it out there.
Good on BJ Hill, by the way, too. Did you see the clip of that guy? It was his teammate just standing next to him, just kind of being there for support.
Yeah.
It was cool.
Look at me, Louie.
Maybe.
A little play for
BJ. It seemed like
Hill,
it helped. Yeah. It seemed like it made the guy feel better, though. Look at me,
Louie. Yeah, but
this
he kept
is
saying,
BJ Hill getting that nominee,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, but he kept saying, like, we stand behind him. He's our guy. And I'm like, no, like 10 seconds earlier, you were not all behind you. One guy was literally behind him yelling at him.
I want to push back on that. Because I don't think he was directing it at him. His frustration was just screaming, like, towards the locker room. I don't think it was in his
face.
No,
what he was saying, like, how do you hit
him.
The quarterback?
I think it was just a question of frustration of how do you hit the quarterback.
He was just, like, saying it out loud. Right, it wasn't at anybody.
And it was just by happenstance the guy that committed the infraction was near him?
I don't even think that guy was still sitting on the bench crying.
He was.
This
he
is
was
a
crying.
Video
no,
shot.
I'm talking about the video of them walking
into
the locker room.
Right.
He's... Like, it seems like he's being hounded by a teammate.
Yeah, but I'm not going to blame a teammate for being upset. I mean, he's in the trenches. They've worked very, very hard to get back to a Super Bowl.
It was a really dumb
penalty. And it was a dumb play that allowed the Chiefs to go on and win that game.
And he was having a really good game, too. Like, all the commentators were like, man, Osai is playing out of his mind right now. He's a rookie. He's a young guy who's playing up to the game. And then all of a sudden, he makes one bad move. And again, when your goal is to attack the quarterback 24/7, sometimes it's hard to turn that off.
Mm-hmm.
But in theory, the Bengals were denied the chance to come back and win that game because of that penalty. That single event is the biggest play in that game. I mean, maybe with 10 seconds, Mahomes gets another play and they kick a field goal anyway, but that penalty makes it completely easy for them, and maybe the Chiefs win in overtime. But what I'm saying is that I think the GOAT, not greatest of all time, the GOAT is like the villain. I think it's dead. I don't think that, like, we as a sports culture, like, even on, like, we have First Take and Undisputed on every day in the studio to see what the pontificators are pontificating about. But I don't think, like, the singular focus on this person made a mistake, they cost. I'll be curious what it's like in Cincinnati, but I don't think that they're having a big pile on Joseph Osai.
I think it... I think we're better in making sure that Osai is not going to be known for that. But if a marquee name makes a mistake, I do think that First Take and Undisputed spend segments on it.
Like if Jalen Hurts, if that game was closer and Jalen Hurts throws a big
will
interception.
Clobber him.
Yeah.
Clobber him. They'll clobber anyone.
I'm old enough to remember what the content looked like when Baker Mayfield was quarterback. Right? So I think it depends on who's committing the infraction.
These single moments, though, I guess like the most recent example in my mind would be Dak Prescott running out of time in last year's NFL playoff game against the 49ers.
Yeah, we stayed on that.
We did. But... It was also one where, like, is that the offensive coordinator's fault for calling a dumb play, right. or is it Prescott's fault? Like, it was sort of a
awareness.
We can
issue.
Ask a question. It's not just that dude messed up, and you either have a pile on you, you go, he messed up. What are you gonna do? And I feel like the shame as the ruler here has worn out. I also think that players receiving death threats on social media or the like overall social media like kind of wasteland has led to like people like media kind of being nicer. So it's not like, hey, this guy's Twitter mentions are a dumpster fire. Although I presume that Joseph Osai's Twitter mentions were a dumpster fire. But I feel like that aspect of it has died down and I feel like we're better for it. I like the fact that like-
You're saying yay us?
Yeah, we all knew that he made a giant mistake.
Yep.
We see when players make big mistakes in big moments. I almost wonder like, how do the Bengals handle that internally? Like, I know that they don't have film review the next day because their season is over.
Get mad at the officials.
But if
the officials are the ones taking the brunt, I think, more than Osai.
They are. Yeah.
That's true.
Gut-wrenching.
I also think
nights.
It's a market-to-market thing. So I think in Philadelphia, they'll always do that. They'll crush the guy who makes the mistake. New York is always going to do that. Boston probably always going to do that.
But
know?
It feels like position by position, though, too, because it's an unknown defensive tackle, and you're like, okay, I don't even know who this guy is. If it's Dak Prescott, if it's Brock Purdy, if it's Jalen Hurts, if it's Patrick Mahomes, you slam them appropriately. Because, hey, you're the number one guy here.
From what I'm gathering off of Bengals Twitter, though, it's like he shouldn't have even been in that position. The referees had just such a nightmare game.
Right. They're focused on the referees.
Yeah.
They are. Yeah.
Which is a real break for Joseph Osai.
Yeah.
Because
he hit him 7 feet out of bounds.
Yeah. No, it was a blatant penalty and it was really dumb.
And, super.
And I'm not, I don't want to be like the, we should talk about how dumb that was for an hour, but
It was dumb.
Like 10 minutes? Like,
but we have swung the other way.
There's just not even a debate about how dumb it was.
Right.
There wasn't anyone saying, that's not a penalty for me.
That's why, maybe. We feel bad. We're like, oof.
Well, it's not even that we feel bad. It's that, like, well, what's the follow-up conversation? Like, we might have been better at just, like, skewering Bill Buckner for messing up, and you get to talk about, like, how the Boston Red Sox are just never going to win. Like, I imagine WEEI the next day after the Bill Buckner, I don't even think it existed, but, like, if it did, it was just pure wall-to-wall Bill Buckner is a moron for screwing this up. Steve Bartman is a moron. Like all these sorts of things.
I think sports radio existed in 1986.
Did it?
I believe so, yeah.
Didn't, like, WFAN start, like, in the early 90s?
I mean, look it up. I'm not certain, but I believe there was... I don't think there was 24-hour sports radio stations. I think there were sports shows markets, you know, on, like, news stations.
Newspapers would guide the discussion.
Was ESPN having a go at him at that point? Did they have that kind of programming?
I'm certain Bob Ryan had a go, okay, at Bill Buckner after the 86 World Series.
It seems like WFAN as a sports-only station began in 1987.
Okay. So there were some shows, is what I'm saying. Yeah. Right.
The first sports talk radio show in history launched in 64, but you were saying, like, networks.
Yeah.
Right.
Fully.
24-hour sports station. Yeah. Speaking of referees, you guys see the story in the NBA. So this LeBron foul gets funnier and funnier because the reaction to it.
I thought you were going to talk about Jaren Jackson's potentially fraudulent blocks. Have you seen this?
No.
So somebody on NBA Reddit discovered that Jaren Jackson gets way more blocks at home than he does on the road. And so they attributed to the hometown scorekeeper.
Blocks basically, as in like blocking the ball?
Trying to get him a depoy.
Gotcha.
Right. And so somebody actually did the video research on every single one of Jaren Jackson's blocks. And only like two of them were a bit dubious. But there was like a whole 24 hours where it was thought that Jaren Jackson's Defensive Player of the Year bona fides were being burnished by a friendly hometown scoring. And that they counted blocks that shouldn't have been counted.
It's weird.
Yeah. People research anything, man. I almost said research. You guys would have yelled at me. people will research anything to try and, like, you know, put together some kooky conspiracy on Reddit.
If only we had a podcast that explored these basketball conspiracy theories.
I can't wait for this week's episode of Basketball Illuminati. I feel like that's like the full 40 minutes.
Okay, good. The referees.
Are you eating something right now?
A Kind bar.
We're on the air.
It's the middle of the segment.
I'm sorry. I was
hungry. You're driving.
Woody started the segment. I figured a pretty good time to sneak in a little Kind bar. I mean,
not our 10-minute break before the segment.
No, right now.
I had a heater.
What flavor is that? Yeah. What flavor is that?
Marlboro Light.
Ah, yes. Delicious.
So the reaction to this LeBron, I guess, missed call on who was Jason
Tatum. It
was Tatum,
yeah.
Yeah. His reaction was ridiculous.
I feel like LeBron's. It's still in your mouth.
It is.
You can just chew. We'll fill.
Okay, fill.
Let's get it out of there.
Fill, Mike.
Yeah.
If I may, since I was crediting us for being better people, yesterday I went for a walk down the beach.
Look at me.
And
is a walk? Look at me.
A walk on the beach.
It's a flex because he lives on the beach.
I presume a lot of people listening around the country probably can't go for walks down the beach at this moment in time. Yeah. I saw this woman walking behind me. What? Who was carrying a plastic bag and was literally doing a beach cleanup by herself.
That's Look at Me, Louie.
So my thought was, I think that's being a good person. And my thought was, I can't ever be as good of a person as this person is being right now. Like, I am incapable of spending a time on a Tuesday afternoon or Monday afternoon walking down the beach and just picking up bottle caps that are in the sand and picking up all kinds of things that are in the sand. And I was just wondering if you, like, when did you guys come to the realization that there are just people who are better than you and there's nothing you can do about it?
When I met you.
Not that good of a person.
Yeah. Yes, you are.
When I
far better than I am.
When I read Mike Schur's book. Mike Schur's book was an eye-opening experience. Yeah, I read it cover to cover. Mm-hmm. And there was a point where I bought Mike, because I view Mike as a bit of a mentor for me, and he's been there for me in times that I've needed him. And I was reading this book, and I was like, you know what? I'm getting a lot from this book. I just want to do something nice for Mike. The book had got me in that kind of mood. So I bought Mike an autographed Red Sox cap. I think it was a Carlton Fisk cap. And I bought it and I sent it to him. And the very next day, when I turned to the very next chapter in the book, it was about a specific instance around Red Sox memorabilia that his son wanted to buy, and he was thinking as to whether or not he would do it. And the long and short of it was he specifically cited an example where it made me feel bad for doing that for Mike.
Because it's like you're doing it just to make yourself feel good kind of thing?
Right. It made me feel bad for sending it. And then I just realized I'm overthinking this too much. I'm just going to try to be as good as I can and not try to be as good as other people.
And so, like, that piece of, like, and it also kind of gives off when you send the gift, oh, you hadn't finished the book.
Yeah.
Because if you had listened through to the next chapter,
right,
then you might not have sent that particular thing as a gift.
Right.
That's a defeating thing.
It was. I mean, if I could turn back time, if I could find a way, I would.
I'm trying to think
cancel
of like
that Carlton Fisk cap.
I'm just trying to think of like the nicest and read the thing book. I've done.
He said it was very nice, but I knew from reading the book that he didn't appreciate it.
Stugatz, what's like the nicest thing you've ever done, like for somebody, not someone you care about,
I'll
but just like a stranger, like a stranger. Like, I think I told someone once when they like dropped something, I was like, "Hey, you dropped that."
That's the nicest thing you've done?
I'm just trying to think.
That's the first thing that comes to mind, though. Hey, you dropped something.
No, I don't mean of like something for my wife or a friend. I'm talking about just like in public. Let me just do something that I'm trying to think back. I know I've done them, but they're hard to think of.
I'll grab a suitcase occasionally for a complete stranger.
Ooh, good one.
From the overhead bin on a plane because, you know, she's an old lady and I want to help her out. Strong. I did that recently. Yeah,
that is. I've done actually
the nicest thing I've ever done.
I've done that recently. That's something nice.
I take a couple factors in. I've learned that you don't necessarily just do that.
I did that. And
yeah, because it could be insulting. I've been waved off before.
But you ask.
The person thought I was patronizing.
You ask, like, can I help you with that? It's usually like an older lady.
Yeah, but
to do something nice for somebody?
I was raised to always do that for a woman, and times have changed to a point where it may come off as patronizing, and it's kind of like, hey, sometimes I'll ask, do you need help? I get waved off more often.
I'm not just grabbing people's bags.
I used to. I'd be like, let me get that. No, I've changed.
I mean, if they don't notice.
I've changed.
Get a little look-see.
Hey, everybody, it's Mike, and typically I record these Miller Lite spots in the studio, but I requested that I specifically record this one from my home office because I got a window, and I'm looking outside at those beautiful fishtail palms, knowing that in just a few seconds, I'm going to go out there, I'm going to crack open a can of Miller Lite, because while sitting outside by my fishtail palms is usually a good time, I like to take it up a notch and make it a Miller time. That's right, you crack that puppy open, and you don't have to think about what you're drinking for a darn second. A lot has changed over the years, including my backyard. Lots of landscaping being done right now. But the one thing that hasn't changed is the undebatable quality of Miller Lite. You don't have to choose what quality is the best. Miller Lite has great taste, and it's less filling. Tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/Dan, or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces. Fewer calories and carbs than premium regular beer.
Have you ever wondered if Chet Holmgren might be a descendant of Abraham Lincoln? Or if a UFC fighter could beat an alien in a fight? You might have not, and that's okay. I probably have thought about the UFC one, to be honest. But Shea Serrano and Jason Concepcion from the Six Trophies podcast have. If you love basketball, and more importantly, if you love fun, you gotta listen to Six Trophies, where Jason and Shea serve up the biggest moments from all around the NBA with their brand of unbridled joy, banter, and pop culture side quests. Each week, they hand out six pop culture themed trophies for six basketball related activities. Stuff like the Denzel Washington and Training Day trophy, given out to the player or team having the best week around the NBA. Or the Lauryn Hill You Might Win Some, But You Just Lost One trophy for the team or player that just can't get it together. Plus a bunch more trophies for all the good, bad, or just plain head scratching moments from all around the NBA. This playoff season, you want to make Six Trophies your go-to companion podcast. Follow Six Trophies on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. Listen ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus.
Don Levitard.
Let's go, Islanders. Bump, 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 bump.
Stugatz.
Let's go, Islanders. Bump, 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 bump.
This is the Don Levitard Show with the Stugatz.
So anyway, back to the NBA and the referees for
kind bar finally out of the mouth.
I think I got the entire thing down. So the reaction to this LeBron thing is ridiculous, where CJ McCollum and other players have come out and said, if refs miss a call, they want them to be fined. To which I find appalling, okay? Like, it's a hard enough job as is. CJ McCollum makes $25, $30 million a year to play a sport. Those referees are making, I think a starting referee makes $250,000. I think an average referee makes $500,000. And I'm not saying it's not a lot of money. It's a very good salary, okay? Very, very good. But to fine those guys for making a mistake when they're making that much money and you as a player are making $25, $30 million a year, to me, seems patently absurd.
You know what confuses me the most about that sport? What? Is the replay system that they have. Because you don't need to leave the referee on an island.
Correct.
I think even the referee who's naturally, and you can understand this, predisposed to not change a call on the court, if shown that, it is painfully obvious that the call was blown. Why wasn't that assessed?
Because the NBA has a very difficult time with figuring out how much to interrupt the flow of the game, because they did review a lot when replay first came in, and people were like, games are taking too long. You hear Jeff Van Gundy on the call. What are we doing? We don't even like the outcomes of the decisions after we've looked at every decision. Every time a fingernail grazes the ball and it goes out of bounds, we got to look at it. People like to have the flow of the game, but then also when there's a, like, they want replay as the backdrop.
We're Sky Judge.
This was the last play exactly. of the game, though. This is not a play in the second quarter that's right. going to slow down the game. This is the game.
No, the game Tony, is, like, the regulation has ended.
But you know what, though? I've always found tedious that the last play of the game, it does get that extra level of scrutiny. I understand it's right. the last thing, but also, like,
there's a million calls.
Right, there's a million calls. And
but that call is so obvious that it needs to have
the but to Mike's point, sky why judge. Not the right the eye in the sky? So where it's so obvious that they, you know, someone in New York calls the referee and says, hey, we need to take a look see at this, and they take a look and they reverse the call. It's that yeah. simple. Rather than fine the guy who's out there doing the best job that he can, he's going to miss some calls once in a while. And you don't need to fine that person who's making that kind of money. Again, it's good money, but in comparison to what the players are making, I don't think we should be fining referees.
It's not going to lead to
How
better.
How about we just fix the problem?
It's not going to lead to better calls, to your points, Stu.
It's going
to
make them more nervous.
Right, exactly. It's a weird, and it's like in that same breath. So if McCollum shoots under 50% from the field, does he get less pay that game? Like,
right.
so we're,
right, exactly. Like, I, as a matter of percentage, the referees get their job right more than the players do.
Mm-hmm.
Like, but like, no one is saying fine CJ McCollum when he misses a wide open three. People make mistakes.
Right.
It's okay. And by the way, I saw these stats yesterday that the Lakers, if you look at the last 2 minute reports, they get like 65% of the incorrect decisions going their way. That over the course of the season, they've had some very big marquee moments that Mike Scher highlighted yesterday. But over the course of the season, they've actually gotten the rub of the green when it comes to these big decisions.
A rub of the green.
LeBron wants 100% of the of all decisions.
Of the eight fouls that happened? Yeah.
Golf, is that a golf origin? What's a rub of the green mean?
I don't know.
Was that luck? What does that mean?
By the way, the Lakers stats, the last 2 minute reports have been 34 incorrect calls in the final 2 minutes of their 19 close games this year. 21 of them went in favor of the Lakers.
I've never heard rub of the green.
Yeah. It's a common one used in like BBC podcasts I listen to.
Right. So is
it's
this
not, so not America?
None
so
of us have ever heard it.
Well, yeah. What does it mean?
I'm looking at the definition. The first definition says good fortune, especially as determining events in sporting match. And then number two definition, when talking about golf, an accidental or unpredictable influence on the course or position of the ball.
So in all your golf playing days, you boys have never heard that before?
Never.
I've never heard it.
Nope. First time I'm hearing it today.
All right. So
it was the first, my first time too, but I guess golf origin because of that.
It means you get good luck.
No, I piece it together, but we all kind of took it in stride. I'm like, I don't think I've ever heard that before.
And you know what's funny is I enter these moments kind of like how I said research, almost said research earlier.
Well, how you say halftime.
Halftime. Yeah. Yeah.
You but, know, but you're, that's absurd that you do that. How do you say popcorn?
Popcorn?
Yeah. Say popcorn. Halftime. Say halftime the way that you say popcorn.
Halftime.
Popcorn.
Popcorn. Oh, yeah, I see what you're saying. Yeah.
You're saying it like popcorn. Like,
no, but, you want to punch me in the face when I say it that Chris, way.
Yeah.
No, but what I'm saying.
Let's go to the movies. I'll buy some popcorn.
But what I'm telling you guys is I am not making a conscious decision to say it half time.
That's worse.
No, I'm not.
Yes, you
that's
are.
Worse.
Okay, it's but here's the thing. It's ingrained in you. I was heading towards the highway exit of saying rub of the green. And I was like, shit, I have nothing else. I just have to say this, despite the fact that I know that it's going to be a nice diversion that's going to interrupt the program. I'm heading there. I'm saying it. I almost said research, and I had to stop myself.
Can you not stop yourself when you do things like that? You see the eggs, and you're like, I
it's
gotta
too
go.
Late. I'm trying to finish a sentence.
Put your blinker on, man. Get back on the highway. It's fine.
Yeah. We're talking extemporaneously on the air. I'm trying to.
I don't know about extemporaneously. I don't think we're talking.
Let's all have a sandwich.
Yeah.
You turn into Christopher Walken.
Yeah. Say halftime the way that you say popcorn.
Popcorn.
Oh, but say halftime.
You're trying. You're thinking too much.
Halftime. Halftime.
Halftime.
See?
Half-time. The first way was better.
Sandwich. Halftime.
Sandwich.
Oh. See what I mean?
You get excited.
Break yourself at that.
Yeah.
Okay. I'll try.
Yeah. Too often we try to assimilate to Europe when it comes to lean into soccer. Lean into the Americanisms of it.
Yeah. I think I do.
We have our own sporting culture here. And over here, we don't say rub of the green. We don't.
But it was the expression that was in my head. What do you want me to do?
Change it.
Do you want me to stop the show?
Become American.
Yeah.
Do you want me to stop the show? So be like, hey, guys, I need another expression for getting good luck.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Good luck.
No, yeah, that would be terrible. Good luck.
And we'll look it up for you.
You're not English.
Look where we are now.
You said pilloried. I didn't even know what that meant. You said it twice. Pilloried.
You're Colombian.
He wants to be English, though.
No, you're
Colombian.
It's not want to be. It's I listen to so many soccer podcasts.
Right.
And that's
that
your
I
fault.
Just can't help but absorb it.
But you want to be English.
No, but
if given the choice, you would choose being English.
I like the diversity of language. I like that they don't just say this. I like that it's different. I'm
but
intrigued
you realize that they're
the
just,
different things that
like,
they say.
For them, that's just what they say.
But it's called English.
Yeah. Right. Like, exactly. I mean, why couldn't we
Queen's
use
English?
Why couldn't
because
we use
you're
other
from
words?
From a certain region, lean into it. You know, when I travel up north, people are like, you have an accent? I'm like, I do? Cool. That's red.
The Miami accent.
I say keg. And they're like, what is a keg? I'm like, it means cagazo.
Somebody Witty for the first time must just be so confused.
Yeah.
Like, where are you from? Are you? What is going on here?
I actually do sometimes use Spanish expressions.
Hot as balls is like, that's another
one.
South
that's
Florida expression.
One, yeah.
Lean
yes.
into...
We don't
use hottest balls
somewhere else.
Florida, hottest balls
sure.
is everywhere.
No, hottest balls is grown, but
that
spans I think
across
it,
every state. It does.
Literally.
Yeah. Supposedly.
Irregardless.
Irregardless.
Is a big one.
There's a couple of things that are just
the way
you
said literally was as spot on of a Miami accent
almonds.
As I've ever heard.
Literally.
Yeah, I said almonds
salmon.
The other day.
I said
almonds.
I know
it's
almonds.
I was proud.
Well, you
it's
made,
almonds.
No, you weren't.
You didn't
you
say almonds. Like you said
almendras.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. I'm an amalgam of various cultures.
But why is English one of them? You don't have any...
I watch a lot of English soccer. I like it.
You're American.
I've been watching it for 10 years.
I watch a ton of English soccer.
10 years?
I don't say half time.
Come on, lads.
But you do say pitch.
You call us
pitch.
Lads.
You say pitch.
I say pitch just because field can be confusing.
Has lads caught on? Because I find myself calling other people
of
lads.
Of course.
Yeah. I'm training
lads.
I hate
good
myself
chap.
For it. I
punch myself in the
chap.
Face.
I know.
Yeah.
Man, that sounds like that hurts.
I don't say have time.
We're on a continuum. I'm perhaps a bit further along the continuum.
Go on. Get in.
Jesus.
10
get
years
over
is
yourself.
Surprising, though.
I mean, I'm hesitant to do this, but I really am. But Mike, you were talking about Messi before, like you had another update.
No, I don't have. I wanted to see if Greg Cody's like, what are we talking about? The same thing we've been talking about for 3 years? I'm like, well, no, there have been developments on them, but I guess you neutered that. No, we're just waiting around. Messi did give a very interesting interview in which if you understood the tone... And trust me, even understanding Argentinian Spanish is difficult
the
for me.
The subtitles are very helpful.
Very helpful. But I guess here's what I'm not in the business of making predictions. Might you dig up some old tweets where I kind of say I think it's going to happen? Yeah. But now that I'm in this reporting mode, and don't expect me to come out and break that Messi is signing anywhere. That's not really what I'd like to do here. It's just like to clear up some what I feel is misinformation. And as Inter Miami's pursuit of Lionel Messi has continued from well before the World Cup to conversations that have happened years ago leading up to this point, especially over the last 30 days. My confidence has grown in Inter Miami's ability to actually pull this off. And yesterday, there was an interview that made its way out there of Messi speaking to a journalist, and he was smiling, and he sounded like a man that was really satisfied with his legacy, how his career is going. He said that he wanted
his career is gone. He kind of talked about some of it in the past tense.
If you wanted to read into it, Messi did not sound like a player that was super hyped about continuing his journey in Europe. It sounded like that door was maybe closing. And he said specifically that he wanted to close his career in a unique way. And I don't necessarily think that's re-upping with your team. Again, this is a negotiation. The Qataris don't hear no all that often. But this is a player that doesn't necessarily need the money. And this is a legacy play, potentially. And Miami's offer to Lionel Messi, I can tell you definitively, interests Lionel Messi. He is interested in it. And he is now taking the appropriate time to decide what his next move will be. And if he does move over to Inter Miami and MLS, it becomes instantly the biggest U.S. soccer transaction of all time. And it provides a lot of momentum for MLS headed into this Apple deal that needs something big like that, I think. Because while they're going to be on some legacy broadcast partner channels, it's going to become increasingly difficult for casual soccer fans or people or non-fans to discover MLS, being that it's going totally on Apple. You need something that can draw people into the tent right now, because you're asking a lot for people that aren't into MLS right now to find out how to sign up for this package and whatnot. So I think it would hit at a really great time for Major League Soccer to get this done, too.
Time to buy the tickets, or what do you think?
I think a lot of people have bought the
tickets.
That's
all I care about.
A lot of people have bought the tickets. The premium seats for Inter Miami have been gone for a while.
All right.
So Inter Miami have made some good moves. I think there are going to be some people that bought tickets and are going to be really bummed if it's just Joseph Martinez. But That's a risk that
still
people
take. Still
a
former league MVP.
Yeah, and if Pozuelo comes back, that means you have two former league MVPs, the former Landon Donovan MVPs, that's what they call that, in that league. But all I can tell you is Inter Miami feel confident in their offer. They know that they have a strong proposal in front of the player. The player is doing his due diligence with his camp right now to decide what's next. As I understand it, it's just between two options. It's PSG and Inter Miami, as crazy as that sounds.
And your gut tells you Inter Miami. You're not reporting anything.
You keep trying to push me to say something.
I am. I mean,
I'd say this.
Just what's your gut say? That's not saying anything.
If I can do the wind horse fingers for a second, it was reported by Fabrizio Romano, who is like the chief number one transactions reporter in Europe, that he's re-upping with PSG. Done deal.
Yep.
If that was the case.
And Messi's biographer, too.
Right. So if that was the case, he won the World Cup on December 18th. He's been eligible to sign an extension ever since. Why hasn't he signed?
And I listened to Fabrizio's podcast on, and Fabrizio has actually been very respectful of all the reports that buck against the notion. It seems as though the bulk of Fabrizio's reporting on this Messi deal stem from conversations that were had before the World Cup. He said as much. And I can tell you, Inter Miami, influential members of Inter Miami's front office were at the World Cup final, and they have spoken to Lionel Messi as recent as last week. They have had a decent communication, and there was never any indication that there was a done deal with PSG. And they are not carrying themselves in this negotiation like they have a done deal. He may very well sign with PSG. What I'm telling you, what my gut is telling me, is that
thank you.
My confidence in Inter Miami's ability to do this, because a month ago it was very easy to dismiss the best player in the world right now off of that legendary moment coming to MLS and Major League Soccer.
And still call himself one of the very best players in the world, if not the very best player
in
the world.
I understand why people are so dismissive of it. I don't necessarily understand why they're so dismissive of me I know my reporting is good. I know my sourcing is airtight. I know what's happening here, and I'm sharing the tip of the iceberg in terms of what I know. My confidence in Inter Miami's ability to pull off this mega
percentage
deal.
Percentage point.
I'm not going to do that. I'm going to tell
good question,
you.
Question, Tom.
Yeah. I'm going to tell you.
27?
I'm going to tell you. My confidence in their 50? In their ability to pull it off has only grown over time.
I think you can. You
that
can,
sounds like more than 50.
Better than 50.
Yeah, it sounds. No, you like can more only 50. Put a certain. You can only put a certain ceiling on the percentage confidence because you're going against Paris Saint-Germain. You're
but
going
if there's
against
only
Qatari sports investments. They're worth tens of billions of dollars. There is no dollar amount that they couldn't pay.
Yeah.
Like outside, I guess there is rules in place in Europe where you can only spend so much against your revenue, which does somewhat play
that
into
does
this.
Does play into what PSG can do.
Yeah. Because they already pay so much to Mbappe, they pay so much to Neymar, they pay so much for the rest of their squad, they can only pay but so much, but this is the richest entity in sports. I guess maybe second to the Saudi Public Investment Fund owning Newcastle, but like this is more money than God. This is more money than you know what to do with. And so, like, Lionel Messi could theoretically just say, I want as much cash as possible, and Inter Miami can only but throw up their hands up and say, all right, have a nice time. But there is something more here. And Messi, in that interview, the thing that leads a lot of people to think that it could go differently than just him re-upping with Paris Saint-Germain is that, and we were talking about this at the time, ahead of the World Cup final, we had the Cooligans on, and I'm like, as an Inter Miami fan, as someone who wants MLS to thrive and wants him here, do I want Messi to win the World Cup? Because it would prove him as one of the very best players in the world. But on the flip side, he would also prove he has nothing left to do in this sport.
Right.
He's won Champions Leagues. He's won league titles. He's won the World Cup. He's better than Cristiano Ronaldo from a legacy standpoint. He's done all he has to do in Europe.
That's a sad around. Thing, though, right?
I like, asked around after he had that performance and they won the World Cup. People that would know, like, hey, is this a good thing for Messi to MLS? And to a person, they all said, yeah, this is a positive development. This
poking helps, around.
This helps the chances. And that was over a month ago. And since then, the conversations have only gotten more and more serious.
The reason I'm pushing you on your gut and asking you better than 50% is my gut is telling me something right now. NFL related. The football we care about.
Uh-oh.
Okay. I teased it earlier. I'm reporting this, okay, from my gut. Tom Brady, now I want you guys to imagine this, okay? Grows up in San Francisco, okay? Huge 49ers fan. Watches Joe Montana and Steve Young win four or five Super Bowls. Loves that team. And now we think that he's at the end of his career. We think. We don't know. He also might just be getting started. We have no idea. But with those two injuries to those two quarterbacks, those are bad injuries. Brock Purdy, 6 months, he's out.
Little Tommy John.
Yep. Trey Lance, really bad knee injury. He should be back for next season, but I think it was clear that Trey Lance, when he was given the time, is not ready to be an NFL quarterback.
They should both be ready for camp.
They should, but it doesn't matter.
They won't be ready for the summer, though.
They're coming off bad injuries.
Who knows when Brock Purdy's going to be able to throw again, too.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, so
I want you guys to close your eyes for a moment, if you can.
Why? Because I'm pretty sure we all know where this is going.
I want you to imagine this.
Okay? I
want to
see.
Okay? I want you to see it. McCaffrey. Literally. McCaffrey. Okay? Deebo Samuel. Ayuk.
Brandon.
George Kittle. Gronk.
Messi at lower.com.
I did
field.
Not see Gronk in this.
Two tight ends. And you know Tommy loves tight ends.
12 personnel.
Tom Brady to the Niners. Done deal. It's a done deal. It's the storybook ending or beginning to a great career.
It would have been such a great setup. Brady to the Raiders. And Brock Purdy as quarterback of that team while Brady is in Las Vegas.
He gets the NFC. It's the conference he wants to be in. Great coach, great team, brings Gronk in. It's a perfect ending to Tom Brady's career.
Stu, I've got a little
something. And he wins another Super Bowl.
How about this? How about close your eyes?
I will.
Picture Brady in the black and silver of the Las Vegas Raiders. You don't like it. I know you don't like it, but picture this one. Picture that champagne in red with Derek Carr.
I can't see it.
How do you feel about that?
I can't see it. Brady, Niners, done deal.
I was picturing Derek Carr with the Jets. How do you like that?
Aaron Rodgers, Jets.
But if that doesn't happen, how do you feel about Derek Carr?
I'll take it.
I love a little QB carousel.
He'd be the best quarterback we've ever had.
We do have a proper carousel this year.
We do. We really do. It's exciting.
You guys don't think that's happening, Brady?
I like it. I said 2 weeks ago that he should take $1 million. And then Dan said that the players union would never allow that, which I don't really find to be fair, but whatever.
Would
I
mean, Brady win a Super Bowl with that team?
They were one of the favorites this year.
Yeah.
Yes, the answer is
they could. Absolutely.
Done deal.
I can't say that. There's so many weird things that happen in that sport. I can't just say they're going to win a Super Bowl.
It would help
Bowl.
Their chances.
I will say, Stugatz, to bolster your argument, it was reported yesterday that, or it was revealed yesterday, it's not reported because the NFL announced it, that the salary cap is going up $16 million next year, which isn't to say that all of the other Niners' salaries don't commensurately also go up, but that's an extra amount of money for the Niners or any other team to play with in terms of salary cap money.
Kittle and Gronk. I mean,
that'd be nice.
Gronk's so old.
He's not, though.
He's not.
So, that's the thing. He's
so not that
his body. His body's
he's like 32.
He's like 3 years older than Kittle.
Travis Kelce's 33. That's wild.
Gronkowski is 33.
What?
He'll be 34 in May.
Ah.
How old is Kittle?
29.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Low-key been at this for a while.
He'll be 30 next season.
Kittle not so zany when he's down 21.
You wanted to say that so bad.
I've heard you say that off air like 10 at least times. 20 times.
I did that entire thing so Chris could say it.
Chess and checkers.
Hey, everybody, it's Mike, and typically I record these Miller Lite spots in the studio, but I requested that I specifically record this one from my home office because I got a window, and I'm looking outside at those beautiful fishtail palms, knowing that in just a few seconds, I'm going to go out there. I'm going to crack open a can of Miller Lite because while sitting outside by my fishtail palms is usually a good time, I like to take it up a notch and make it a Miller time. That's right, you crack that puppy open, and you don't have to think about what you're drinking for a darn second. A lot has changed over the years, including my backyard. Lots of landscaping being done right now. But the one thing that hasn't changed is the undebatable quality of Miller Lite. You don't have to choose what quality is the best. Miller Lite has great taste, and it's less filling. Tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/Dan, or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces. Fewer calories and carbs than premium regular beer.
Texting privacy policy and terms and conditions posted at textplan.us. Texting enrolls for recurring automated text marketing messages. Message and data rates may apply. Reply stop to opt out. Individual results may vary. Consult a doctor prior to use.
You've lost so much weight. How'd you do it?
I got medical treatment for weight loss through Zelty and lost 50 pounds. I struggled for the longest time, but Zelty makes it easy and affordable to get weight loss treatment 100% online. Zelty providers can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications clinically shown to help people lose weight, like Wegovy, Zepbound, and others.
I've heard those medications can help you lose weight, but aren't they expensive?
Zelty can help get the medication covered by insurance, so it's as little as $0 a month.
What if you don't have insurance?
No problem. Zelty may be able to help you get other GLP-1 medications for 80 to 90% off the price of name brand medications.
I'm ready to start losing weight. How do I get started with Zelty?
Just text.
Text Thin to 200-300 to get started today with Zelty and see if weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound are right for you. Don't wait. Text now for a link to your exclusive offer. Text Thin to 200-300. That's Thin to 200-300. Thin to 200-300.